Good evening. It is a great blessing to be able to study God's Word with you tonight. Thank you for being here in this class. I appreciate very much those of you that are online. We're looking forward to a great study from God's Word tonight on the topic of God's amazing grace. And we're going to be looking at some ideas from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. What a great text to talk about the grace of God. Now, when we start thinking about God's amazing grace, we want to take a look at what grace means. And it's a very simple word in one sense, and yet it's very complicated. Because when you start talking about being saved by grace, we want to include in that discussions that people have in the religious world about God's faith and the faith that we need in Him to be who we need to be and to follow His will. But if grace is what grace is said to mean, sometimes it's hard to put all of these things together. I've been reading from some of my friends who have a faith alone doctrine. They teach that at the point that you accept Christ into your heart, you are saved. And that is it. You're saved by faith alone. But then in many of their sermons, they begin to talk about the requirements, those things that you must do to be God's person. But as we look at grace, I want you to see an acronym that many people have used. If you use the letter of the word grace, someone has said a good meaning is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition, but it doesn't tell you exactly what grace is. A.W. Tozer expanded on that idea when he said that grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines Him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. And then if I were to ask 10 people in our congregation here what the meaning of grace is, I would say, as my good friend Dow Flat used to say, 10 times out of 9, they would simply say God's unmerited favor. And that's really what it's about. Grace is a gift that you cannot merit. You can't earn it. No matter what you do, you can't earn the grace of God. And so as we begin to think about this topic, I want us to use that concept, that idea, that we can't earn salvation. We can't earn sonship with God and have a relationship with God by earning it, by God owing us something, like we've worked all day and now we go to God to get paid and the payment is salvation. It cannot be like that because grace is unmerited favor. So let's take a brief look at the need for grace. When we begin to think about the need for grace, we need to look no further than this classic statement from the Apostle Paul in Romans 3 in verse 23, where Paul says, "For all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In the book of Romans, as he introduces Romans, he talks about the Gentiles, first of all, and how they have sinned. And you could probably see, if you were in a Jewish audience with Paul talking, you could probably see the chests of the Jewish people begin to swell. But Paul then turns and began to show the Jewish people how that they had sinned and how they are in need of God's grace as well. So all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. And then Paul went on to say a little bit later in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. Now the word death means separation. So when I die, the spirit that indwells me will be separated from this physical body that you see. We will take the physical body and we generally plant it in the dirt, and now about 50% of people are being cremated. But that body will go back to dirt and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So that's why we say a person has died. The spirit that inhabits the physical body separates. When we talk about spiritual death, all men sinning, and then the wages of sin is death, that means that all men who continue to sin are going to be separated from God. And so when we take a look at that, we have a very difficult situation because we're in need of salvation to be brought back into a relationship with God. If you take a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and on down in verse 12, you're going to see what the Apostle Paul said was the position of a person who is spiritually dead. And he was talking to the Ephesian church, people who had died because of sin, but who had been made alive. But he said, you've got to remember, you were one time far away from God, but now you've been made near to God. And in verse 12, he said, remember, at that time you were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise, and you had no hope, and you were without God. What a tragic picture, but that's the picture of spiritual death. And that shows this unthinkable need for grace. So as we think about our need for grace, let's see what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once also walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You were dead. You had great need. We once lived the life of the passion of sin. We chose sin over a right relationship with God. And when we began to think about our relationship with God and all men sin, that includes me, it includes you. We all will receive the wages of sin, which is death, that is eternal separation from God apart from grace. There is a great need for grace. Now, I want you to think about, since we have such a tremendous need for grace, God has given us this gift. It is something we could never have without God looking down upon us in great mercy and giving us salvation based on His terms, not on our terms. But we have to look and see what he says. Those first three verses teach us how dead we were, how horribly our lives were. We had no God, we had no hope, we had no Christ, no Savior. We didn't have a relationship in the nation that God made his own spiritual people. We were in bad shape. But now we have the gift of grace. God gave us that tremendous gift. Listen to these verses from Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, here's a change in outlook. You were dead. You were without hope. You were without God. You were without Christ. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You've been saved. You've been raised up with Him and seated with us and with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. A whole change of scenery. We have such a great need, but God came in the form of Jesus to sacrifice Himself. God sent His Son, Jesus, to sacrifice Him for you and for me. We cannot forget that great passage from John 3 and verse 16. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have eternal life. That's the very purpose for Jesus coming into the world, to share this gift of grace. Well, how is that shared? Well, if we take a look at some examples of grace, many people in the religious world, and rightly so, would turn to the thief on the cross. If you take a look in Matthew chapter 27, and then again in Luke chapter 23, you're going to see some information about grace. the thief on the cross. If you read in Matthew chapter 27, you're going to see that two thieves, two robbers, were crucified with him, one on each side of Jesus. And in chapter 27 and verse 44, both of them reviled him in the same way. And the way that they're talking about were the way those people passing by would look up at Jesus and they would mock him. They would make fun of him. They would talk about, if you are the Son of God, come down. You saved others, save yourself. And they would spit on him and they would curse him. And the text here in Matthew 27 says, these two robbers reviled him in exactly the same way. But if you look over in Luke chapter 23 and you begin in verse 42, you're going to see that later one of those guys who was dying on the cross rebuked his buddy, the other robber, and he was talking about how that Jesus did nothing to deserve dying on the cross. But he understood that both he and his fellow thief both deserved what they were getting. And then he looked at Jesus, and this is such a familiar passage to us, when the thief said to Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He understood, even though he was dying, even though just a little bit earlier he'd been rebuking Jesus, reviling Jesus, cursing Jesus, just like everybody else, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here is how Jesus could extend his grace because of his authority and his power. He said to that thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, you see, today we would say that where does it talk about repentance? Where does it talk about confession or baptism or faith or any other thing that we might want to teach someone who needs to come to Christ? You see, we only have the authority to preach the will of God. This New Testament, the new will, became effective when Jesus died on the cross. And as we take a look at this, Jesus is the one with the authority. He said, as he gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He had the authority from the standpoint of being God himself to tell this man, you will have your sins forgiven in such a way that today you will be with me in paradise. I believe the thief on the cross was saved. Not because he was baptized, not because we read of his great faith, not because of any other thing that we might have to preach today based on God's will, but because God had the authority to do so. He has the same authority through his will, the New Testament. That authority comes through the preaching of the word. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's everyone who believes the gospel message and obeys it has the authority to be saved. What a great story we have in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. We have a young man who was in his father's house. And what Jesus is telling stories about is about men and salvation and how that works. And he tells the story of the lost sheep. And we get touched by that 99 in the fold. They're left behind. The shepherd goes out and brings the one back. And then we read about the lost coin. The woman who lost the coin, she doesn't say, oh, look, I've got 9 coins. I don't need that one. She tears the house up, as we would say, looking for that coin. That's how important it was. And I've said many times, I can learn a lot from the story of the lost sheep. I can learn a lot from what it means to lose money and then find it. But when you really want to touch my heart, you talk about my children. Here is a young man, a son, wasting his life with riotous living. The word prodigal itself means wasteful. He had wasted his life, and he was in trouble in that sense. And so he decided that he wanted to go home. And God is trying to give us a picture of his grace. This young man in a pig pen, hungry, he said, there's plenty of bread at my house. I can go to my father, and I will say to him, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me just one of your hired servants. But when the young man arose to go, and he did, the father saw him coming from afar off, and he runs out, and he hugs him, and he kisses him. And he's so glad to have him, he said, let us kill the fatted calf and eat and drink and be merry. For this my son was lost, but now he's found. This my son was dead, but he's now alive. That is a picture of the grace of God when we choose to turn to God, whether we are his children or we want to be born into the family of God and receive the grace of God and be saved by doing his will. So those are some examples of grace. Now, we need to remember that grace cannot be earned, but it's not free. We talk about salvation is full and free. Yes, in one sense, no, in another sense. And you see, that's what makes this concept of grace, the concept of faith, the concept of works, so hard to fit together. But listen to Paul's words in chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, now, what about this passage teaches us that grace cannot be earned or merited, but it is not free? Well, we are created, this text says in verse 10, for good works in Christ Jesus. And then I would call your attention to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. When we start thinking about obtaining God's grace and walking in God's grace, the word walk just means your life as you live it. Living in God's grace, there's some training that we have to go through. And there's some requirement. It requires works of faith in order to live life in the grace of God. Look at verse 12 in Titus chapter 2. We are trained to renounce ungodliness and worldly lust. You can't live in an ungodly way, and you can't follow after the lusts of the flesh in this world. And then in verse 12, it also says that we are trained to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life right now in this present age. You can't just go do anything you want to. You have to be controlled as you live life in this present age. And then third, verse 14 says that we must be trained to wait for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we really have to work hard to live soberly, righteously, and godly, and to do the kinds of things that God would have us to do as we live life and walk in the grace of God. And then we are created here, this text teaches us, for good works. Now, as we continue to think about that, go back and look at this great, one of the fantastic chapters in the book of Romans, and one of the fantastic chapters in the book that we call the Bible. Romans chapter 6. Obtaining and walking in God's grace requires work. Look at what this passage says. We are baptized into Christ to walk in newness of life, to live a new life. You can't go back to living the way you were and doing the things you did as you followed the passions of sin in this life. So we are raised from the dead, spiritually dead, and we're wrapped around, clothed about with Christ, and we are to walk in newness of life. Verse 6 says we're no longer a slave to sin. We once worked on behalf of sin, but we no longer work on behalf of sin. Verse 9 says, spiritual death, that is, that separation from God, is not predominant in our lives. We are related to God. Though we may sin as a children of God, God has given us a way to take care of that sin. What a tremendous blessing it is to not be dominated by spiritual death. And then as we look at verse 12 and 13, we are to keep the passions of sin under control since we are under the grace of God and we're not under law. And verse 15 says, we must not continue in sin, but being obedient to God's will brings grace to us. You cannot continue in sin. In fact, back in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. By no means can we continue in sin that grace may abound. We were once servants of sin, but now we are servants of God. We serve, we work under the headship and leadership of Christ. Well, let me share with you two conclusions as we close tonight. Salvation is by grace through faith, definitely not earned by works of merit. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, not of your own doing. It is not of works, so no man is able to boast about it. And then, as we close, remember chapter 2 and verse 10. And that is that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. There will be a trail of good works following a child of God, because as one is born into Christ, there is the creation of a new man, and that new man is to walk in the Spirit of God. Grace cannot be earned, but there are requirements and responsibilities when we see what God teaches us about living life in the grace of God. Thank you so much for being with us today.